Adi Gadadhar Prabhuji, Hare Krishna's grace, Adi Gadadhar Prabhuji. Are you on the call, Prabhuji? Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna Mataji. Yes, I am on the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. So today's class will be given by His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhuji on the topic of Shri Ram Katha. This is the second session today. And thank you so much, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much for giving your valuable time in association to us this morning and enlightening us on this Ram Katha, on the event of Ram Namavi coming up. I now hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Mataji. We will all chant the Mangala Charan first.
ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणारघुनान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्री राधा कृष्ण पदा सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वाच्या कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेमा प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरातिसे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चना गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा आई वुड लाइक टू हम्बली seek the blessings of each and every one of you, all the devotees who are listening. I would also like to very humbly beg at your lotus feet for your kind blessings so that by the power of your blessings for the next 1 hour, I will become empowered and enlightened to speak Harikatha in such a way that all of you are pleased Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga are pleased and our hearts become purified by speaking and hearing and meditating on this Harikatha. So this is session number 2 out of 3 sessions that I have been asked to serve on Sri Ram Katha, because this Saturday is a very auspicious tithi of Sri Ram Navami, the appearance day of Sri Ramchandra Bhagwan. So we will chant one verse which is composed by the Supreme Vaishnava Shivji and told to a rishi called Buddha Kaushika, and then Buddha Kaushika Rishi wrote it down. This verse is a prayer to the lotus feet of Sri Ram. So let us offer prayers at the lotus feet of Sri Ram. It is always good to begin anything by meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. We always, even the darshan that we take in the temple, we begin from the lotus feet. Shri Ramachandra Charanau Manasasmarami. Shri Ramachandra Charanau Vachasagranami. Shri Ramachandra Charanau Manasasmarami. Shri Ramachandra Charanau Sharanam Prapadde. Shri Ramachandra Charanau Manasa Smarami. With my mind, I remember the lotus feet of Shri Ram. Shri Ramachandra Charanau Vachasa Grunami. And I glorify the lotus feet of Lord Ram with my words. Shri Ramachandra Charanau Shirasa Namami. I offer obeisances with my head at the lotus feet of Shri Ram. Shri Ramachandra Charanau Shirasa Namami. And finally, Shri Ramachandra Charanau Sharanam Prapadde. I surrender. I offer myself at the beautiful, divine lotus feet of Shri Ramachandra. Shri Ramachandra Charanau Manasasmarami. Shri Ramachandra Charanau Vachasagranami. Shri Ramachandra Charanau Shirasa Namami. Shri Ramachandra Charanau Sharanam Prapadde. Mata Ramo Maktita Ramachandra. Swami Ramo Matsakha Ramachandra. Sarvaswamme Ramachandro Dayalu. Nanyan Jane Naiva Jane Na Jane. Dakshine Lakshmano Yasya Vame Tu Janakatmaja. Purato Mahiryasya Tam Vande Raghunandanam. Hare Krishna. So yesterday we spoke about the younger brother of Shri Ram, Bharat. How Bharat was misunderstood serially by so many great personalities. In fact, he was misunderstood by everyone except Shatrughna. And then finally, Bharat overcame all these misunderstandings. He overcame all these mountains after mountains of misunderstanding with his unblemished track record, with his patience, his ability to control his own anger, and with his sincerity. He remained sincere even when he was being doubted. So Bharat was misunderstood by Kaushalya. He was misunderstood by his own mother, Kaikeyi, thinking that he would be happy to receive the kingdom. He was misunderstood by Vasishtha Muni. He was misunderstood by Sumantra, the Prime Minister. He was misunderstood by Guha. He was misunderstood by Bharatwaj Muni. Everybody misunderstood him. But Bharat remained faithful he remained sincere, and he overcame the misunderstanding with proper, honest, sincere communication. So this teaches us that communication is incredibly important in Vaishnava relationships. Very important, proper communication. Communication through words, communication through our actions and our expressions also. Therefore, many times when we just send text messages, WhatsApp messages, Facebook comments, Facebook messages, the person, the devotee who is reading them is only seeing the words, not even hearing the words, just reading the words. And that does not convey the full emotions which we can convey through our voice. Reading the message does not convey our facial expressions, which are full of emotions. Therefore, what the person is getting is just some typed up letters, some words, which don't convey the emotion, the feeling, which can be understood when we are having a face-to-face conversation. Therefore, we have to be careful in these text messages, Facebook messages, WhatsApp messages, because sometimes we may come across to others as rude, as abrupt, because they are not seeing our eyes, they are not seeing our facial expressions, they cannot hear the sincerity in our voice or the insincerity in our voice. So therefore, communication, proper communication is essential, and important conversations, as far as possible, should be had at least in voice, by hearing the voice, because voice itself conveys a lot of emotions and it is more personal than a typed up message. And even more important conversations must be had, if possible, in person, face to face. If not in person, face to face, somehow by Krishna's mercy, by Krishna's arrangement, by Krishna given intelligence, now we have applications like FaceTime and video, WhatsApp video, and Zoom, and so many things where we can see the expressions, we can see the emotions, we can hear the voice. That way the communication is better. Less chance of misunderstanding, because I have seen so many times just on WhatsApp group messages or Facebook comments, because the emotions are not there, are not seen, the facial expressions are not seen, we cannot look into the eyes, because eyes are the window to the consciousness. Because all those things are not there, just by reading messages which are quite, they appear quite blunt and abrupt and impersonal. People get hurt by reading messages, and there are fights, back and forth messages, because the emotions, the feelings, the facial expressions are missing. So we have to be very careful with communication. We can learn this from our revealed scriptures like Valmiki Ramayana. So let us continue the journey of Bharat. Bharat is accompanied by Shatrughna. He is accompanied by Kausalya, Kaikeyi, and Sumitra, the three mothers. He is accompanied by Vasishtha Muni. He is accompanied by the chief minister, Sumantra. He is accompanied by all the important people in the court of Maharaj Dasharatha. And he is also accompanied by all the citizens of Ayodhya, including ladies and children. Everybody came, because everyone was very eager to see this meeting between two loving brothers, Bharat and Sri Ram. And they all wanted to petition Sri Ram to come back, because Bharat was saying repeatedly, I do not have the power to convince Ram. Therefore, all of you, please come with me. So together we can go. We can show our unity, that all of us, all Ayodhyavasis, we are united in our determination that we want Sri Ram as our king and no one else. In this way we will go, we will convince Sri Ram and bring Sita Ram and Lakshman back to Ayodhya. So we saw that how Kaikeyi here represents our mind, and when the mind becomes polluted by a bad association, by asat sanga, the mind can make us do crazy things. Mind can make Dashrath do things which were otherwise unthinkable. But the mind can make it do when the mind is polluted. Mind can be the best friend, or mind can be the best enemy, worst enemy. And Bharat represents intelligence. Bharat is a pure devotee. With the power of intelligence is higher than the mind. We can rectify the mind, train the mind, and make the mind do the right things at the right time with the right spirit. That is what we can learn from this. And then Bharat, now accompanied by all these Ayodhya Vasis, with great anticipation, great eagerness, great hope, and also the weight, the burden of immense pain and suffering, is making his way towards Chitrakoot mountain. One very heavy burden that Bharat is carrying is the burden that he will never ever get a chance to clarify the misunderstanding that his own father Dashrath Maharaj harbored for him before dying. Bharat got the opportunity to clarify the misunderstanding, to clear out the misunderstanding which Kaushalya had, which Kaikeyi had, which Vasishtha Muni had, Sumantra had, Guha had, Bharadwaj Muni had, the Ayodhya Vasis had. He was able to communicate with them and clarify. And he was able to satisfy them, convince them that he had nothing to do with the exile of Sri Ram, that he had no desire to become the king of Ayodhya. Bharat was able to convince them all, clarify, clear the misunderstanding. But Bharat did not and would not ever have the opportunity to tell his father that, "My dear father, please do not be angry with me. I had no role to play in this conspiracy. I do not want the kingdom. I am with you in your decision to make Ram the king." But this Bharat can never tell Dashrath Maharaj, because Dashrath Maharaj has left this planet. So this burden, this pain, Bharat was carrying in his heart. And our Bharat is making his way towards Chitrakoot. As the mountain of Chitrakoot was approaching, Bharat's eagerness to see Sita Ram and Lakshman was increasing with every moment. And he could not walk slowly, he could not keep pace with the others. So along with some very experienced soldiers who were good at trekking, Bharat, he started going ahead, advancing towards Chitrakoot, because he could not contain his enthusiasm to meet Sri Ram. On Chitrakoot mountain, on the northern face of Chitrakoot mountain, in a thatched hut, Sita, Ram and Lakshman were living. This hut was constructed by Lakshman. And Lakshman very quickly, very expertly, when Sita and Ram reached Chitrakoot, he got some wild fruits. He served them on leaf plates to Sita and Ram. He quickly went down to the Mandakini River, which flowed on the northern side of Chitrakoot mountain, and in leaf cups served them some water, fruits, and told them to sit under the shade of a very beautiful tree. And while they were eating, very expertly, very quickly, Lakshman, he constructed a hut made of leaves, grass, and some dried branches of trees. Very beautiful, very simple hut. after finishing their lunch, Sita and Ram come to Lakshman, where he has just constructed a hut, and Ram and Sita inspect the hut. They look inside, they look at the window, look at the door, look at the compound around the hut, they look at everything. They look at the sacrificial altar that Lakshman had created, because Ram would like to have the sacrificial fire burning at all the times, because this was Treta Yuga, and the Yuga Dharma was Yajna. Tretayam Yajato Makhay. So the sacrificial altar for the Yajna, it was there. Ram inspected everything. He inspected the area where Mother Sita would cook sometimes. So he inspected everything, and Lord Ram and Mother Sita were very pleased. They were very pleased. And Ram told Lakshman that, my dear brother, very quickly and very expertly you have built this hut for us, this simple hut. And it is very nice. We really like it. It is very simple, yet it is made with love, and we will happily live here. And then Ram tells Lakshman that, now, my dear Lakshman, you should make a similar hut for yourself also, so you can also be comfortable. At this, Lakshman starts crying. Tears are running down his cheeks. And when Ram asks him the reason, Lakshman says, my dear Ram, you said that this hut is very nice, and then you told me I should make a similar hut for myself as well. It really pains me, my dear Ram, when you separate my identity from your identity. What is this? That I need to build a separate house for myself? I don't have any separate identity. If you are living in this hut and you are happy in this hut, that is my happiness. I do not have any separate identity from you. So Lakshman here is representing the Guru Tattva. The Guru and Krishna are considered to be non-different. Why? Because the Guru has no separate existence, no separate motives, no separate desire from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, there is union. They are one. So Lord Ram embraces Lakshman and tells him, I was just testing you, my dear brother. I was just testing you. So then Lakshman would get some fruits and roots for Sita and Ram. And he would stand guard outside the hut day and night, always keeping them very comfortable. And our acharyas explain that this simple life that Sita and Ram experienced in Chitrakoot was similar to the life that Radha and Krishna experienced in Vrindavan. The reason is, they were living in very simple home, very simple hut, and this dham was manifested by the love of Dhamma Shakti Swarup Balram, who is Lakshman. He had manifested that hut, he had manifested about what they are going to eat, the paraphernalia, everything, the sacrificial altar, everything. Lakshman had manifested, because he is a Dham Shakti. And then every day, three times a day, Sita and Ram would together go down to the Mandakini River. And they had a secluded area there where they would have their bath in the Mandakini River. They would sit on the rocks on the bank of Mandakini River, and they would sport, they would talk, they would enjoy, they would roam around in the forest together, bare feet, without any shoes, just bare feet. And Lakshman would keep his distance, just making sure everything is okay. And Valmiki Ramayana describes, there were very, very beautiful different varieties of colorful birds who lived there. There were different varieties of deer, different colored grasses, very tasty grasses for the animals to graze on. And little distance away, there were the simple ashrams of sadhus and rishis who lived in the forest. And some of these rishis had cows so that they would get milk for their yajnas. And these cows would graze in the grass on the Chitrakoot mountain. And Sita and Ram, they lived very happily on Chitrakoot. Several days passed, and one day, Sita and Ram were sitting on the banks of Mandakini River on the rock, and they were enjoying their loving talks, when suddenly, Sri Ram noticed above the trees a cloud of dust, as if a dust storm was cooking up. There was a cloud filled with dust. And Sri Ram, without any anxiety, without any concern, he just looked in the direction of Lakshman. He could not see Lakshman, but Lakshman could hear what Sri Ram was saying. And Sri Ram told Lakshman, "My dear Lakshman, please climb up a tree and look in the northern direction. There is a huge dust storm. Can you please see if it is a giant herd of wild animals that is moving, or is it a king accompanied by many soldiers who has come to this jungle, to this deep forest for hunting? Or is it some king with his powerful army who is going through this remote forest? Please see and tell me what it is." And Lakshman immediately climbed up on a tall tree, and he looked in the northern direction, and he could see a huge army with many, many elephants, many chariots, many horses, many foot soldiers. They were coming straight towards the Chitrakoot mountain. And Lakshman immediately went to Sri Ram, and he told Sri Ram that, "My dear Ram, my dear brother, a huge army is coming, and I feel they are coming to attack us because they are very well armed. Therefore, let us keep Mother Sita in a cave, not in the hut, because the hut will be easily detected, because we have made the hut in an area of the forest which has been cleared by me. I have cleared it and then made that hut, so it will be easily visible. So let us not hide Mother Sita in the hut, but let us find a suitable cave for her, and let us hide her in the cave, and then both of us can fight with this army and destroy it." Sri Ram says, wait, Lakshman, you're getting too excited. Wait, please climb up the tree again and look for the flags on the chariots, on the elephants, and look at the insignia to see whose army it is." So Lakshman immediately climbed up the tree again and looked. And he said, "Oh, there is an emblem of a Kovida tree on the flag of the person who is at the forefront of the army. And this flag belongs to our Bharat, our brother. So that means Bharat is coming with a huge army. My dear Ram, looks like he is not satisfied with banishing you to the forest. He is not satisfied with the throne of Ayodhya. Looks like Bharat wants to come and destroy you so that he can have sovereignty over the kingdom forever. But do not worry. I will not let this happen, my dear Ram. Why don't you and Sita both go into a cave? Because I am myself capable of killing Bharat, Shatrughna, and the entire army of Ayodhya. I had been waiting for this day when I will come face to face with that person who is the cause of you and Sita having to live in the forest. I have been waiting for this day. Let me face Bharat, and today this earth will drink the hot blood that is flowing from Bharat's corpse after I pierce him with my arrows. Lord Ram is very dissatisfied, very disappointed with Lakshman's speech. Shri Ram tells Lakshman why Bharat has come. He says that, my dear Lakshman, why are you so short-tempered? Why are you getting upset at Bharat? Have you ever in the past noticed any discrepancy in the behavior of Bharat? Ever? Lakshman says, no. Then why do you suspect him of foul play? What proof do you have? What reason do you have to suspect Bharat? You are simply misunderstanding Bharat. Lakshman says, but he is the cause of you having to live in the forest. Shri Ram says that, my dear Lakshman, don't become angry so easily. Bharat must have become upset with his own mother, Kaikeyi, for banishing us to the forest. And he must be coming here with the army to meet us and to request us to return to Ayodhya. That must be the reason why Bharat is coming. Lakshman says, it is very hard to believe, because the luxuries and comforts and opulences of the palace are very difficult to resist for men of this world. Therefore, I think Bharat is coming here with some ulterior motive. At this point, Shri Ram apparently becomes angry with Lakshman and he chastises Lakshman. He says, my dear Lakshman, it appears to me as if the hard life of forest living has made you very tired. In just these few weeks that we have been in the forest and you are serving me in the forest, oh, it seems that it has made you very irritable and very short-tempered. If you are not able to cope with the harsh forest life, my dear Lakshman, why don't you go back to Ayodhya and live comfortably in Ayodhya? And I will ask my beloved brother Bharat instead to live with me here in the forest and serve me, and he will happily do it. Hare Krishna. This was a very strong chastisement for Lakshman. And Lord Ramchandra really, really wanted to drive home his point that one must control one's anger and one must not judge the motives of others without proper understanding. Lord Ram wanted to emphasize this point. So Lord Ramchandra did not stop his admonishment of Lakshman. Shri Ramchandra continued. He told Lakshman, my dear Lakshman, I feel that you are really missing the comforts and luxuries of Ayodhya. And I think that you are regretting your decision to come with me to the forest for 14 years. And I think that secretly, you have been harboring a desire to sit on the throne of Ayodhya. My dear Lakshman, if it was so, you should have told me. I would have spoken to our father and made you the king. Anyway, now that indirectly through your behavior, you have expressed your inner desire to me, let Bharat come. I will request Bharat to give you the throne of Ayodhya. and he will happily do it. Because unlike you, he is not attached to name, fame, position and comforts. When Sri Ram spoke like this, it was like a thunderbolt to the loving heart of Lakshman. And Lakshman immediately became humbled. And he begged forgiveness from Sri Ram. He said, I am very sorry. I am very sorry, my dear Ram. I got unnecessarily angry towards our dear brother Bharat, who is filled with good qualities. And I judged his intentions without even talking to him, without even understanding the whole situation. I prematurely judged him. I am very sorry. Then Sri Ram said, my dear Lakshman, why are you so short-tempered? So Lakshman says to Sri Ram, hey Prabhu, I am myself wondering why I get angry so quickly. Why am I so short-tempered? Why do I behave like this? Can you please explain? And Sri Ram smiles and tells Lakshman, you are like this, my dear Lakshman, because you are a very emotional person. You are a very emotional person. That is why. So Lakshman asks Sri Ram, hey Prabhu, is it bad to be emotional? Being emotional is my nature. It's my swabhav. It is how I am. So is it a bad thing to be emotional? And for the education of all of us, Sri Ram spoke to Lakshman. He replied, my dear Lakshman, the emotions of a devotee are the precious ornaments. How can emotions be bad? How can it be a bad thing to be emotional? No. It is not at all a bad thing to be emotional. But one must learn which emotions to nurture and which emotions to give up. Sri Ram explained, we have all these emotions. We must choose those emotions which are pleasing to the Lord. We should choose those emotions which are anukul, favorable for our bhakti, for our seva, for our duty. And we should give up those emotions which are pratikul, which are unfavorable for our bhakti, for our seva, for our duty. This is a very important lesson. I hope everybody was able to hear. This is Lord Ramchandra's teachings to all of us. Very, very beautiful. Ramayana is filled with such lessons. Actually, I wrote down several verses from Valmiki Ramayana which I wanted to share, but we will not get time. It is already 11:40. But Ramayana is filled. All our scriptures, they are filled with Nectarian verses from which we can learn immensely. So, after destroying the baseless suspicions that Lakshman was harboring in his heart towards Bharat, Sri Ram told Lakshman, now let us wait for Bharat to arrive. And Bharat was so vyakul, he was so eager to meet Ram. He could not keep pace with others. He was rushing ahead. Even the expert trekkers who Bharat had brought with him from Ayodhya, who were expert at climbing mountains, even they could not keep pace with Bharat. And Bharat alone, with everybody trying to keep pace with him, Bharat alone came to the place where Ram Lakshman and Ram Lakshman and Shrimati Sita Devi were staying. And Bharat, through the trees, he saw a clearing, and above that clearing, he saw some smoke in the sky. And he thought, this must be the ashram of Ram, and that must be the smoke coming from his sacrificial altar outside the house. So Bharat even increased his speed, and there, when he came into the clearing of the forest, in a distance he saw a very simple hut made of leaves. And outside the hut, on the ground, slightly elevated ground, Sita and Ram were sitting. Ram was sitting on his left side, Srimati Sita Devi was sitting. They were wearing simple tree bark, but they were looking very effulgent, very, very beautiful. And very close by, next to them was standing Lakshman. And he was holding his bow. His quiver was next to him, and his sword and shield were also next to him. And Ram's bow and arrow were kept at a distance. When Bharat saw Sita, Ram and Lakshman, his heart erupted with ecstasy and anticipation and love. And he started running towards Shri Ram. And as he was running, several times he stumbled upon rocks, upon fallen trees, upon uneven ground, and he fell flat on the ground. And from there he would offer obeisances and immediately get up and start running and fall down again. Again offer obeisances to Ram, somehow get up and start running. And he would lose balance and again fall. With uncontrolled emotions, Bharat came, and as he was coming closer, Sita, Ram and Lakshman also got up from their place and they came to greet him. And finally Bharat came and fell at the lotus feet of Shri Ram and started crying uncontrollably. And then he slightly raised his head, looked at the beautiful lotus feet of Shri Ram. The same lotus feet that we were just glorifying in the verse that we chanted. Bharat looked at the beautiful lotus feet of Shri Ram and he saw that those lotus feet did not have any sandals. Shri Ram was barefoot standing in the forest and Bharat became unconscious. He became unconscious. Just then Shatrughna came there and Shatrughna, he offered his obeisances to Shri Ram, Mother Sita, and he looked lovingly at Lakshman and immediately took some water and sprinkled it on Bharat so that Bharat would wake up. When Bharat somehow regained external consciousness, he spoke to Shri Ram. He said, "My dear Ram, this earth is devoid of an able ruler without you. It was the desire of our father to make you the next king. But somehow, because my mother's conspiracy, because of her wicked actions, you had to come to the forest. I have come with great hope to bind you by the ropes of my love and to bring you back to your home, Ayodhya. So please come back to Ayodhya. Please come back to Ayodhya. I had nothing to do with what my mother did. Shri Ram was very peaceful. At the same time, he was very, very happy to meet Bharat. With tears in his eyes, he gently held Bharat and raised him. And for the first time, Bharat and Shri Ram were looking at each other. face to face, eye to eye. Bharat, who had so lovingly served Ram all his life, and Ram, who had always nurtured Bharat like his own child, were now looking at each other. And Ram, with his beautiful long arms, he embraced Bharat and pressed him very tightly, very lovingly, close to his heart. And Bharat also, he held Sri Ram and embraced him. With his embrace, Sri Ram was saying, "Oh Bharat, you are mine." And with his embrace, Bharat was saying to Sri Ram, "My dear Ram, I am yours. Ayodhya is yours. The throne is yours. The crown is yours. The opulence is yours. Comforts and luxuries are yours. We are all yours. Tava asmi. Tava asmi. We are yours." It is said that when Sri Ram and Bharat embraced each other in that forest of Chitrakoot, even the rocks melted. Even the rocks melted. And even today, there are beautiful footprints of Sri Ram and Bharat where this Ram and Bharat Milan took place. After the painful separation of several months, by the time they embraced, of course, Shatrughna had come, and then one by one, everyone started arriving. Vashishtha Muni came, Sumantra came, the three mothers came, the principal citizens of Ayodhya, they came, the soldiers came, everybody came, and they sat down. Sri Ram first offered obeisances to Vashishtha Muni, then to his three mothers, including Kaikeyi. In fact, Ram had the he followed the principle of always offering obeisances to Mother Kaikeyi first. She was very dear to Sri Ram, and Ram was very dear to her. After offering obeisances to his three mothers, he offered his respects to the elder citizens who had come. He offered his love through his glance to those who were junior to him. In this way, Sri Ram reciprocated with all of them. And Lakshman and Shatrughna also embraced. And then Sri Ram also sat down in front of Vashishtha Muni. And Bharat came, and Bharat sat at the lotus feet of Sri Ram. Now a conversation takes place between Bharat and Sri Ram. Please listen to this conversation very carefully. It will illuminate your heart with Krishna Prem. To hear this conversation, this loving tug of war, loving exchange, even the devatas came. And they were showering flowers from the sky. Bharat requests Ram to come. Ram looks at the elephant of Maharaj Dasharatha called Shatrunjaya. And he asks, "Why is this elephant without a rider? Where is father?" And Bharat very painfully gives the news that after you left for the forest, our father went back to the spiritual world. He could not bear separation from you. And Ram begins to cry. Sita begins to cry. Lakshman falls down, wailing uncontrollably at this tragic news that their father had departed. Then Bharat says, "Shatrughna and I have performed the last rites. And we have also done the Pindadan. But you, my dear brother, you are the capable son. You are his favorite child. You are the eldest son. You also please go to the river Mandakini and offer oblations of water to our departed father." And Ram, Sita and Lakshman, they went down to the river and they did that. I'm speaking very fast because we have much to cover. And then Sri Ram comes back and sits down. And then Bharat again sits at the lotus feet of Sri Ram and requests him. The desire of my wicked mother has been fulfilled. You have been exiled and I have been asked to rule Ayodhya. All that is fulfilled. But now I have come to request you that now her desire is fulfilled. She is purified. Now she also wants you to come back. We all want you to come back. Please come back to Ayodhya. And Sri Ram, he says that no, the desire of our father was, the words of our father were that I should stay for 14 years and you should rule for 14 years. So we will follow the instructions of our father. And then Lord Ram, still remembering his father, he starts crying. He says, who will speak to me sweet words of love now that my father has gone? Oh, how he used to teach us. How he used to talk lovingly to us. Who will speak with me with love now? Oh, he used to rule over Ayodhya with so much love, with perfect justice. Who will rule over Ayodhya now? This earth has been deprived of a great ruler. And Bharat immediately takes this opportunity and he says to Ram, yes, yes, my dear brother, there is no one to rule over Ayodhya now, no able leader. Therefore, you must immediately come back and take charge of the throne of Ayodhya. Just see how Bharat is trying to convince. And Ram says, no, no, no. This kingdom has been given to you for 14 years by our father who has now departed. So we must honor his word. We must keep his word. And you rule for 14 years and 14 years I will live in the forest. Bharat says, all right. It was the word that our father gave to my mother Kaikeyi. And therefore, I accept the throne of Ayodhya. And you have accepted exile to the forest also. No problem. I have accepted the kingship of Ayodhya. And now, as the king, as the sovereign king with full authority, I gift this kingdom to you, my dear Ram. So now take it. Lord Ram smiles and he says, if I do that, then I will not be staying in the forest for 14 years. So the second promise that our father gave will be broken. I cannot do that. So Bharat says, all right, you go to Ayodhya and become the king and I will stay in the forest and I will fulfill the 14 years of forest exile happily. That way, our father's word is kept and all our desires, the desires of all of us, Ayodhyavasis, are fulfilled. So Ram says no, but our father had said that Ram should serve 14 years of exile and you should rule. So we cannot interchange. And then Lord Ramchandra makes a very important philosophical point. He says, we cannot exchange karma. He said, if people start exchanging their karma like this, the whole world, the entire universal order will be thrown into chaos. Lord Ram says, everybody has to bear the burden of their own karma. You cannot exchange your karma like this. Sri Ram says, this is my karma, so I will do it. Then Bharat says, but my dear Ram, I don't have the power to rule. Just like Bharat is speaking from his heart, he says, just like a horse runs very fast. But a donkey, no matter how hard a donkey tries, the donkey cannot run with the speed and stamina of a horse. A donkey cannot keep pace with the horse. Similarly, you are like a royal Ashwatth horse and I cannot keep pace with you. I cannot be the king. You should be the king. Just like a sparrow cannot fly like Garuda, you are like Garuda. And I am like a small sparrow, Bharat is saying. Therefore, I cannot sit on the throne that belongs to you. This feeling of being incapable is actually found in all the great acharyas. Our Srila Prabhupada in the Jaladuta diary, he prays like this. Ki kore bhujabo katha borosei chahi chudra ami dinahina kono shakti nahi. He says, what power do I have, my dear Krishna? Srila Prabhupada is praying on Jaladuta ship. What power do I have to make these people understand Krishna Katha? What power do I have? Chudra ami dina hina. I am fallen, I am lowly, I am unqualified. Kono shakti nahi. And I am devoid of all shakti. I don't have the strength and the power to do it. Bharat says the same way. I don't have the shakti to rule over this world from Ayodhya. You have that shakti, so you do it. Ram again smiles and he places his hand on Bharat's head and very lovingly starts stroking Bharat and says, it is your humility that is your qualification. It is your humility that is your qualification. And you go, you rule, you have my blessings, and always take the advice of very wise advisors like Sumantra and Vasishtha Muni. Stay under their guidance. Now this is very instructive for all of us. Therefore we should also accept a guru, Diksha Guru, Shiksha Gurus, and stay under their guidance. Then we can do. And then Bharat says, I cannot go, I cannot do this. It is not possible for me. So you appoint someone else as the king. You want to stay in the forest in exile? You do it. I cannot stop you, but I will also stay with you because I cannot bear separation from you. And Ram says, no, you are the king. You go and you rule from Ayodhya. And as your brother, my dear Bharat, I will rule over the animals and the beasts. I will rule from the forest, you rule from the city of Ayodhya. The white umbrella, Shitata Patra, the white umbrella will be the cover on your head. And the canopy of the trees will be the cover on my head, Sri Ram is saying. You do your duty, I will do my duty. That way, Father, Maharaj Dashrath, will be pleased. At this point, seeing that Bharat Maharaj is being defeated in argument and logic by Sri Ram, a Brahman by the name Jabali stands up. And he starts speaking in favor of Bharat, to support Bharat. Somehow or the other, Jabali wants to convince Ram to come back to Ayodhya. So he tells Sri Ram atheistic philosophy. Out of his desperation to convince Ram to come back, Jabali, who is a very well-qualified Brahman and a devotee, to support Bharat, he starts speaking nonsense philosophy. He says, who has seen afterlife? Who knows whether there is afterlife or not? Whatever is there is this life. Therefore, there is no point in suffering in the forest. O Ram, accept the invitation of your brother and come back to Ayodhya and rule as the king so that everybody can enjoy under your rulership. No point in starving and suffering in the forest like this. Your father enjoyed his life as a king. Therefore, you should also enjoy your life. Who knows what is there after life, after death? In this way, Jabali spoke atheistic philosophy just to convince. It was a desperate attempt. And the Ramayana explains that Lord Ram was not angry with Jabali for speaking this atheistic philosophy. But Ram was angry at the philosophy. So Lord Ram did not hate Jabali, but he completely disapproved of Jabali's philosophy. And Lord Ramchandra spoke with great gravity. Lord Ramchandra spoke for the benefit of all of us. Lord Ramchandra said, sense gratification is not the purpose of human life. High birth, lot of wealth, lot of fame, lot of education, lot of power does not define a person in my eyes. Sri Ram says, I am only concerned with the character of my devotees, Sri Ram says. It is character which defines us. It is our sadachar, it is our Vaishnava etiquettes that define us. So Lord Ramchandra says, sense gratification comes and goes, it is temporary. That is not the aim of life. The aim of life is to have sadachar and to please the Supreme Lord. This sense gratification nectar will soon turn into poison, Sri Ram says. And performing our duty with sadachar, even if it tastes like poison, in the end it will become like nectar. Now interestingly, the same thing is there in Bhagavad Gita also. And it's there in Valmiki Ramayana. Lord Ram is instructing Jabali. And he tells Jabali, in the future, you should never speak like this. You should never speak this atheistic philosophy. Because you are a Brahman. To mislead other people is a grave sin. So next time, please don't speak like this. Jabali falls down at the lotus feet of Sri Ram. And he says, whatever you have said, O Ram, is the absolute truth. What I spoke was wrong. Please forgive me. And Bharat starts looking here and there for help. Who is going to help me convince Ram? Then Vasishtha Muni stands up in support of Bharat. And he says, my dear Ram, I have been the spiritual preceptor, I have been the guru of your Raghukul for generations. And as proof, Vasishtha Muni starts naming the different ancestors of Sri Ram. I was the guru of your grandfather, Aja. I was the guru of your father, Dasharath. He starts naming everybody. And there is not a single instance in your line, oh my dear Ram, where the eldest son has not become the king. You are the eldest son, therefore you must become the king. This is my conclusion. And as your spiritual master, I order you, I command you, that you must accept the throne of the king. What Bharat is saying is right. As the spiritual master, as the guru, this is my conclusion. And Vasishtha Muni, after saying this, he sits down. Sri Ramchandra, offering his obeisances at the lotus feet of Vasishtha Muni, says very humbly that, my dear Gurudev, I understand the motive behind your speech. You are simply motivated by love for everyone, for me, for Bharat, for the citizens. But my dear Guru, it is very hard to repay the debt to one's parents. My father has done so much for me. He has nurtured me. He has taught me. He has showered so much love on me. I want to do this small reciprocation in honor of my father. He wanted me to stay in the forest for 14 years. I really want to do this as a service to my departed father. My dear Vasishtha Muni, please look at me. I am so unfortunate that being the eldest son, I could not even perform the cremation of my father. Now the only opportunity I have to serve him is to prove his word to be 100% true. To protect the dignity of my father and to protect the dignity of the Raghu Vamsha. Therefore, please allow me to stay in the forest for 14 years. Vasishtha Muni had tears when Lord Ramchandra begged him like this. And he couldn't help but give permission. So be it, Vasishtha Muni said. At that time, seeing that nobody could help Bharat, Bharat became desperate. He took some kusha grass in his hand and sat down in Padmasan and spoke a vow. He said, if Sri Ram does not accept the position of king of Ayodhya, then I will sit here in this position and fast unto death. This is my solemn vow. Bharat sits there with an erect back. With firm determination, I will give up my life. At that point, Ram again smiles. He goes to Bharat and he tells him, my dear Bharat, please stand up. Bharat stands up. Sri Ram tightly embraces him and says, your determination and your love for me has won. Love trumps everything. Your love has won me over, my dear Bharat. I am completely conquered by your love. Therefore, I cannot refuse. And I hereby accept your request. And I accept the position of King of Ayodhya. Because you have won me over by your love. And there is a broad smile on the face of Bharat. Bharat's face had become pale. It has lost all its color. That color came back to Bharat's face as soon as Sri Ram said that you have defeated me with your love. And then Lord Ram says, I accept the kingdom from you. But just as some time ago you had given me the kingdom, after taking it from you, I give it back to you. I give it back to you. So Bharat looks at Vasishtha Muni and says, but what is this? Shri Ram just said that love has won. Then why is he doing this? Why is he giving back to me? Oh, Vasishtha Muni, please say something. Please do something. Ram was just now convinced. He accepted the kingdom and now again he is giving it back to me. Please give your final opinion. Vasishtha Muni looks at Ram. He looks at Bharat. And then with great emotion, Vasishtha Muni gives his conclusion. He says, yes, my dear Bharat, when it comes to a fight between the letter of dharma in the scriptures and love, love always wins. Therefore, my dear Bharat, my final conclusion is that you are victorious. You have defeated Ram with your love. You are the winner. And Bharat again becomes supremely blissful. But Ram understands the import of the words of Vasishtha Muni. So Ram smiles. And then Vasishtha Muni continues. He tells Bharat that yes, your love has won. Therefore Ram accepted the kingdom from you to honor your love. And with love, he gave it back to you. Ram wants to stay in the forest for 14 years. Therefore, because love has won and you love Ram, therefore, because you love Ram and the object of your love, Shri Ram, wants to stay in the forest to prove his father's promise to be true. Because Ram wants to stay in forest and Bharat, you really love Ram, therefore, when I say love has won, it means because you love Ram, you must allow Ram to stay in the forest for 14 years. So Bharat, at the same time, he is devastated and very, very disappointed. But he understands that by doing this, Ram will be pleased. So to please Ram, for no other desire, just to please Ram, he says, all right, I will accept. I will go and I will be the king of Ayodhya. And my brother Shri Ram can fulfill the 14 years of exile in the forest. But I have two conditions. And Ram told him, I will fulfill your two conditions. Ask, what do you want? Now see the emotional exchange between Ram and Bharat. Ram said no to Bharat so many times. So now to protect Bharat's heart, which is completely shattered, Ram is going to say yes to his two demands. So first demand of Bharat is, here are your sandals, your wooden sandals. Please place your lotus feet on these sandals. I will take them on the elephant of Dasharatha Maharaj, whose name is Shatrunjay. And that elephant which bears the white umbrella of the monarch. Your sandals will ride on that elephant. your sandals will sit on the throne of the king of Ayodhya. And your sandals will be the king. And on behalf of you, on behalf of your sandals, keeping your sandals as your representatives on the throne, I will rule. Saying this, Bharat places the two sandals in front of Sri Ram's lotus feet. And Ram immediately, without any delay, steps onto those two sandals. And then he again steps down. Bharat immediately picks up those sandals and places them on his head. Sri Ram looks at Bharat lovingly and says, "What is your second demand?" Bharat says, "I will do as you have instructed for 14 years, but not a day more. If at the end of 14 years, you are not back, I am telling you, Sri Ram, I will not be able to maintain my life here in this body. I will give up this body." And Sri Ram says, "I promise you, Bharat, I will come back. I will come back as soon as 14 years have elapsed." With a heavy heart, as Bharat is about to leave Chitrakoot, carrying Sri Ram's sandals on his head, Lord Ramchandra places his hand on Bharat's shoulder and again stroking him lovingly, he says, Don't ever again chastise and criticize your mother, Kaikeyi." Ram says, "It is the right of a spouse to speak to the spouse the way he or she wants. After marriage, husband and wife may have conversations, may have discussions between them. That is their right. We don't have a right to judge what happened. So don't think that your mother is at fault. Don't think it is Kaikeyi's fault. This is all supreme destiny that makes us dance like puppets. We are puppets in the hands of the Supreme Lord. We are puppets in the hands of Vidhata, the master of destiny." So he gives this instruction in front of Kaikeyi to Bharat, that don't criticize your mother ever again. Don't criticize Kaikeyi. And as Bharat leaves, Kaushalya leaves, Sumitra leaves, Vasishtha Muni leaves, everybody goes, Shatrughna goes. As everybody is returning, one person stays behind with Sri Ram, and that is Kaikeyi, Mother Kaikeyi. This is very beautiful. Mother Kaikeyi stays behind. And when everybody is gone, when nobody is listening, even Sita is not close by, even Lakshman is not close by, it is just Kaikeyi and Sri Ram. In their solitude, Kaikeyi begins to cry. And Kaikeyi falls at the lotus feet of Sri Ram. And while weeping in between sobs of pain, she says, "I am such a fool. I am so ignorant. I am so hard-hearted. I am so wicked, so cruel. How could I treat you so harshly? How could I break the hearts of so many people? I cannot believe it, Sri Ram. You know how much I love you. When you came from Janakpur as a newly married prince, you first came to take my blessings to my palace. When you and Sita fell at my feet taking my blessings, I blessed you from my heart. And when you stood up, I gifted you my own palace, the most beautiful palace in whole of Ayodhya. Because I was the favorite queen of Maharaj Dasharatha. He had given me the best palace. That palace I gave you and Sita as a gift, marriage gift. And I myself walked out of my own palace, not knowing where to go. This is how much I loved you. How could I become so wicked, so cruel, so mean? How could I commit such an aparad? I'm so sinful." Kaikeyi started crying. At this point, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Ram, this is one of the few instances in Ramayana where Sri Ram admits his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Ram speaks to Kaikeyi in their privacy. Sri Ram says, "My dear mother, I know how much you love me. In fact, I know that of all my mothers, your love for me is the deepest. Therefore, I chose you. Kaikeyi said, what do you mean you chose me? I cannot understand your speech. Please explain. And Sri Ram, with his deep and grave voice, he tells Kaikeyi, my dear mother, Kaikeyi, it was I, as the Paramatma in your heart, who prompted you to speak those cruel words for the sake of the demigods. I have my own purpose to fulfill, and the demigods also have their purpose to fulfill. My purpose was to give a taste of Vipralambha to all the Ayodhyavasis, because you are my dear devotees. I wanted to increase your love. So I wanted to give you Vipralambha. And the demigods wanted me to go to the forest and kill all the forest-dwelling Rakshasas, and eventually to kill Ravan. To fulfill their purpose, I wanted to go to the forest. And because you are my favorite devotee, I chose you as my puppet. I chose you as my puppet. And as a Paramatma in your heart, I prompted you to speak those cruel and harsh words, which were very uncharacteristic of you. Therefore, my dear mother, please do not have any more guilt in your heart. Please go back to Ayodhya, knowing that you are my beloved devotee. You are my beloved puppet. I could have chosen anyone, but I decided to choose you because you are very dear to me. So go back to Ayodhya for 14 years, day and night. Always think of me. Always remember me, knowing that I used you as my puppet. And after 14 years, I will come back. And then I will stay with you. When Kaikeyi hears this, she's crying uncontrollably. Tears of joy, not tears of pain this time. She again falls down at the lotus feet of Sri Ram, and she circumambulates Sri Ram with folded hands. And then looking at his beautiful face and carrying the beautiful image of Sri Ram in her heart, she walks back to where Kausalya and Subhadra are. And she goes back to Ayodhya. This, my dear friends, to be used by the Supreme Lord as a puppet is the highest benediction. And this was the prayer of our beloved founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When he left the association of his loving God brothers, when he left the association of Radha Damodar, when he left the association of Rupa Goswami, when he left Sevakunj Vrindavan, he left the association of his dearmost dham, Vrajabhumi. And he was all alone with no devotee association, no contacts, no money, no God brothers, nobody with him. All alone, sitting on the Jalabhuta ship, he wrote his prayer, not even knowing that this prayer will ever become public or not. It was just written in a diary and put in his trunk. Years later, his disciples found it. But this was the outpouring of Srila Prabhupada in his mother tongue, Bengali. He was just himself, being himself, a pure devotee of Krishna, Paramhamsa, sitting on the Jalabhuta, being rocked by the waves of the Atlantic Ocean, being tormented by seasickness, nausea, headache, vomiting, loss of appetite, chest pain, heart attacks, not knowing whether he will survive the rest of the journey, sitting all alone with no supporters, no disciples to massage him, no one with him, all alone. Srila Prabhupada was praying. Ani yacho jadi toma amare nachate, nachao nachao Prabhu, nachao se mate. Now that you have brought me here, ani yacho jadi Prabhu,
Now that you have brought me here, amare nachate, make me dance. Now that you have brought me to this paschatya desh, filled with rajas and tamas, make me dance, O Lord. I am yours. Make me your puppet. You can crush me under your feet. You can embrace me. You can neglect me. You can do whatever you want with me. But you are my Prananath, hey Krishna. Make me dance. And how? How should you make me dance? Kashthe raputali yatha nachao se mate. Nachao, Prabhu. Nachao se mate. Like a katputli, like a puppet in your hands, make me dance. Make me do whatever you want me to do. Make me dance. You want me to live with the hippies? I was living with the Goswamis in Vrindavan chanting 192 rounds every day. You want me to live with the hippies who have never heard the name of Krishna, who have never heard of Vrindavan? So be it. If that is what serves your purpose, my dear Krishna, let that happen. You want drug-intoxicated hippie to attack me with a knife in the middle of the night, trying to kill me? And you want me to walk out on the streets of Manhattan in the middle of the night when it is freezing cold without a shelter? So be it. If that fulfills your purpose, my dear Krishna, let that be. You want my disciples? You want my disciples to worship me and give me the Upadhi Prabhupada, which belongs to my spiritual master? So be it. If that is your desire, let that happen. You want me to become a jet age Parivrajakacharya? You want me to open 108 temples? You want me to become the foremost preacher of Gaudiya Vaishnavism all over the world? So be it. You want me to get heart attacks and strokes and so many health problems? So be it. Whatever you want. You want the Maoists to attack me in Calcutta, trying to kill me when I'm speaking Harikatha on the stage? So be it. You want the police to raid the Mayapur temple, wanting to arrest me out of envy? So be it. You want Mr. N to file a court case against me to make it difficult, send gundas to the Hare Krishna land in Juhu and trying to destroy me? If that is what serves your purpose, so be it. Whatever you want, my dear Krishna, I am yours. Nachao, Prabhu, nachao se mate. Narahari Chakravarti writes about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Priya Bhakta Dware, Anne Rashit Shakarahe, Iyahi Prakare. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses his Priya Bhakta Dware, Annera Shiksha Karahe, to teach others, Iyahi Prakare. He uses his own devotees to teach the world specific principles. Whether it is Chota Haridas, who was used as a puppet to teach us a lesson, whether it was Kalia Krishna Das, who was used as a puppet to teach us a particular principle, or whether it was Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who was used as a puppet to teach us, whether it was Shivananda Sen, who was kicked in the chest to teach us a lesson, whether it was Srivast Thakur, who had to see the death of his son during Harinam Sankirtan in his own house to teach us a lesson, whether it was Advaita Acharya, who had to be kicked and punched by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he is Mahavishnu, whether it was Nityananda Prabhu, who was told to get married for preaching, to teach us a lesson, or whether it was Raghunath Das Goswami, who was told to leave his wife and run away for the sake of preaching. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used his Priya Bhaktas to teach us a lesson. And these lessons we must learn, remember, discuss with each other so that our bhakti increases and someday we become a source of pleasure to Krishna by becoming a puppet in his hands, like Kaikeyi. So with these few thoughts, we will end the class. I am very sorry for going over time. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Namo Pranam. My dear Srila Prabhupada. Such a wonderful, wonderful Nectarian class, Prabhu. Speechless. I'm really speechless. And just want to share that the way you narrate the pastime, whether it be a Ram Katha, Krishna Katha, or Gaur Katha, you do it with so much emotion. And it seems as if you're personally present in all that. And you make us also, you know, envision all those pastimes so clearly, so wonderfully. And today specifically, you literally transport me to Chitrakoot, you know. And that samvad of Ram and Bharat Milav, it was so amazing to hear. I'm really regretting now that, you know, we just gave you 3 days to speak on this Ramakatha. We'd have given you more days so that you would have done justice and you don't have to rush in between. So, but thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you for accepting this request, coming on the call in spite of your busy schedule and, you know, giving us such a wonderful pastime. And I just have 2 questions, but taking the interest of time, I'll just ask one and give chance to others. So the last part when you said that, you know, Krishna uses his devotees and how Lord Ram conveyed this to Mother Kaikeyi that, you know, I used you as an instrument to speak all those harsh words. So how can we understand this? No doubt when we are in difficulties, when we are in suffering, and, you know, as learning from our dear Srila Prabhupada that he has gone through so much hardship, that too we can understand that, yes, this is what being a puppet in hands of Krishna. But how to understand this sentence of being used as a puppet in the hand of Krishna to an extent where she's literally blaspheming the Lord, and she's been used in such a way that the whole world is now doesn't like, and because, you know, people don't want to keep their sons and daughters' name as Kaikeyi, sorry, as their daughter's name as Kaikeyi. To that extent, you know, how can we understand that Lord can use this, you know, in his service? So I hope I made myself clear.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Kirtida Sundari Mataji. Thank you for your kind words. I transfer all your words of appreciation to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Regarding the point that you are raising, Mataji, yes, certainly Kaikeyi was willing to be misunderstood for all time to come. Kaikeyi was willing to be seen, to be perceived as a villain for all time to come to fulfill the purpose of Sri Ram. Similarly, Bhishma Dev happily agreed to be a puppet of Krishna and be misunderstood for all time to come. So there are many examples, but here Narahari Chakravarti in this verse says, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Priya Bhakta Dware Annera Shiksha Karahe Iyahi Prakare. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, means Krishna or Ram, uses Priya Bhakta Dware. Through Priya Bhaktas, the Priya Bhaktas are used as puppets. Priya Bhaktas like Srila Prabhupada, they are used as puppets. So when it comes to us, personally, us, we should not think that we are Gaura Priya Jan, we are Priya Bhaktas of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he will use us. So personally, we should analyze our anarthas and think that when we do something abominable, it is because we are succumbing to our anarthas, not that Krishna is using us for some purpose. But we should be careful to judge others. We should not, as far as possible, we should not judge others.
I remember my spiritual master, Srila Radhanath Maharaj, once said that if we judge the intentions of others, then we are taking the position of Krishna. Because Krishna as Paramatma knows the intentions of others. Whereas we cannot see intention. We can only see the actions of others. We cannot see the intention behind the action. So if we judge the intention of others simply based on their actions without understanding, then we are taking the position of Krishna. We are being envious of Krishna. Because that is where Krishna, that is Krishna's position. And we are going and trying to grab Krishna's position to be the judge. It is not our adhikar. So when it comes to others, we should not judge them. You know, Krishna may or may not be using them. We don't know. We are too small to know that. But when it comes to us, we should remember that Krishna only uses the great devotees for this purpose. And we are simply struggling sadhakas, neophytes. So he will not use us. So we should think that if we do something abominable, we should never justify thinking that Krishna must have used me as a puppet. We should think that I succumbed to my lower nature. I succumbed to my anarthas. So let me improve my sadhana. Let me improve my satsang so that I can not behave like this next time. Madhari, was this appropriate to your point? Or?
Yes, sir. Of course, to an extent. Yes, you know, that makes sense. You know, when we are put into such kind of problems, and we should not think that Krishna is using me as an instrument. Rather, we should think that it's my anartha that is coming up and I should work on it. So, yes, sir. To an extent, yes. So, thank you. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Can you hear me well?
Hare Krishna, Gaurangi Mataji. Yes, I can hear you very well. Hare Krishna.
Okay. A couple things. One is, you know, even before you were telling us how Lord Ram chastised Lakshman for his judgment of Bharat, I was thinking along similar lines when it came to King Dasarath's judgment of Bharat also, because, you know, nobody knows a child as well as the parent. You know, so I was thinking that, you know, the King Dasarath knows very well the character of Bharat. And so I was wondering why he didn't pause and, you know, to wonder if this was really Bharat behind this, you know, if Bharat was at all complicit in this conspiracy, you know what I mean?
Hare Krishna. Yes, Gaurangi Mataji. A very nice point. So for those of you on YouTube or Facebook could not hear the question, the parent knows the child the best. So how come Dasharath did not know that Bharat was innocent? Why did, before passing away, why did Dasharath Maharaj say that Bharat is a co-conspirator in this tragedy? So Mataji, every Shastra, every Leela has its mood. The mood of Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana, is Karunya. This scripture, Ramayana, it is meant to Karunya, how do you explain in English?
Sympathy, compassion?
Mixture of sympathy, pity, compassion, love, painful love because of compassion. It is meant to invoke that in us. Just like when Lord Ramchandra actually left for the forest and Kaikeyi saw him leaving wearing just three bark, bare feet, her heart melted. And that's where her heart started becoming soft, by seeing the suffering. Similarly, Ramayana is meant to invoke Karunya, that sympathy mixed love in us for the Lord and his devotees. Therefore, Ramayana is a very painful scripture. There are painful instances everywhere. Jatayu dying,
Vali dying, but just before dying, Vali becoming a pure devotee and offering beautiful prayers to Lord Ram. And Lord Ramchandra offering him, Vali, if you want, I can remove the arrow and restore you to perfect health. If you think I was unjust in shooting you. And Vali says, if you remove the arrow and restore me to perfect health, I will get few more years on this earth. But where will I get this opportunity to look at your beautiful face while leaving my body? Therefore, I don't want you to restore me to perfect health. I do not want you to remove this arrow. Let me die now in your presence, looking at your beautiful face and glorifying you. So Vali becoming a pure devotee, but he cannot be with us. He is dying. So sad. Similarly, Sita Devi suffering in Lanka repeatedly for 1 year. Then coming, then Lakshman being told to create get wood and create a fire, a pyre, where Sita Devi is supposed to enter. So painful. Then they come back, and then again Mother Sita is exiled. So painful. So one after the other, Ramayana is filled with painful instances that make us cry. But this crying is good for us. We are supposed to cry for Krishna. So to invoke our Karunya, that, oh, poor Bharat, how he was misunderstood by his father on his deathbed. And now Bharat can never reconcile with his father. He can never explain to his father the real story. Oh, how sad. So that bhav is supposed to come in the reader, in the devotee, by reading. Therefore, Ramayana leaves us with a lot of transcendental pain to invoke that Karunya in us. That is one understanding. Second understanding is, it happened because that is the Leela Shakti of Krishna. Krishna's Leela happens under the cover of his Leela Shakti, Yoga Maya. Under that, Yashoda Mai forgets that Krishna is God, and Dasharatha also actually thought that Bharat is a criminal. So does that make sense, Gaurangi Mataji?
Yeah, so you're saying invoking this Karunya in us, or putting us in a position of being able to empathize with these personalities is supposed to somehow increase our attachment for Krishna or Ram. That's the idea?
Yes, yes, Mataji.
Okay. Also, I found it strange that, for one thing, that Kaikeyi, that Bharat, since he was so incensed with Kaikeyi, I found it strange that he would have even allowed her to accompany the entourage, to the forest to find Bharat. I would have thought that he would have banished her from his very presence. And the other thing about Kaikeyi is that, maybe the last thing you said about her, and her real relationship with Lord Ram would explain it, but before your explanation, I was thinking how strange it was that Lord Ram would pay his obeisances to her before even Kausalya, if I understood correctly. So these two things were my only other two questions.
Hare Krishna. Gaurangi Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. You are certainly a very advanced devotee because you are able to read the mind of Valmiki Muni. It's simply amazing. I am astounded by the depth of your questions. You know why?
What?
Because Valmiki Muni and our acharyas themselves explain this point knowing that this will be misunderstood. So what happens is, when Bharat is requesting everyone to come with him to the forest to petition and request Sri Ram to come back to Ayodhya, Kaikeyi's heart is already melted because of two things. One is seeing the sufferings of Sita, Ram and Lakshman. When she saw Sita wearing tree bark, Ram wearing tree bark, walking barefoot and leaving Ayodhya, her heart started to soften. And when she saw that her own son Bharat is not at all attached to the throne and the opulences, and he loves Ram so much, and Ram was never a threat to Bharat. When all this happened and Bharat chastised her, Kaikeyi, her heart completely melted. And she requested later on, Bharat, that please allow me to come with you to the forest also.
as everybody is going, I also want to come to the forest to meet Ram. So Bharat, Valmiki Muni explains and our Acharyas explain the psychology of Bharat. And it is exactly what you are saying. Bharat was so incensed with Kaikeyi that she is the cause of everything. Why should I take her in the forest? So Bharat was apprehensive that should I take my mother with me or not? Because even in the forest, Kaikeyi might tell Ram that I want you to stay here, don't come. Then the whole thing will be defeated. But then he looks at Kaikeyi and sees that genuinely she is repenting. And he thinks that if I go without Kaikeyi to the forest to bring Ram back, Ram might say that all right, all of you want me to come back, but Kaikeyi is not here. Maybe Kaikeyi wants me to stay in the forest. Therefore, for my love and respect for Kaikeyi, I am going to not come. I am going to stay in the forest because Kaikeyi did not come. But then Bharat thinks that if Kaikeyi comes with me and Kaikeyi also joins in the petition and she also says that Ram, please come back, then Ram will have no excuse to say why he doesn't want to come. Therefore, he takes Kaikeyi with him because she is genuinely repentant and because he knew that Ram would want to see that Kaikeyi is also united with the rest of them. So that's, isn't that beautiful? And
then the other
point is, Lord Ramchandra, why he offered obeisances to Kaikeyi first. Of course, it is now there are different retellings of Ramayana, and different people say differently. Some say that he offered to Kaushalya first, but there are some renditions of Ramayana where they say that he offered to Kaikeyi first. So we can understand it like this. Lord Ramchandra is teaching us about relationships. Other than spiritually attracting us to Harikatha, purifying our hearts, he is also teaching us practical lessons in relationships. And here, Lord Ramchandra, by doing this, by offering obeisances to Kaikeyi first, he is teaching us the principle of how to bring out the best in others by our behavior. Now, the relationship of a stepmother is always fraught with danger of envy and misunderstanding, right? The relationship between a child and the mother is secure, but the relationship of the child with a stepmother or the relationship of a wife with a co-wife is always fraught, always filled with the risk of misunderstanding and envy and fight and quarrel. So we must always remember that through our interactions with each other, we should try to bring out the best in each other, encourage each other, not aggravate each other. So here Lord Ram is offering obeisances to Kaikeyi first because he wants to make her assured that I love you very much. I am very close to you. You are like my mother. You are like my biological mother. So he offers her obeisances first to reassure her, to satisfy her, and then he offers it to Kaushalya and other mothers because he knows that his relationship with Kaushalya is already, you know, it is beyond his misunderstandings. So he wants to bring out the best in Kaikeyi. He wants to, you know, he is very sensitive to the different tensions in different relationships. So he's teaching us that lesson. And also he's trying to show how close he was to Kaikeyi. How close he was to Kaikeyi, yet the power of bad association is so strong that even such a loving relationship can be ruined by Asat Sangha. So there are multiple angles we can look at it. Does that help, Madhari?
Oh, very much so, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Jai Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Madhari. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very mind-blowing lecture, Prabhuji. As usual, you always make me cry. You always render such an emotional lecture. And this most beautiful Bharat Milap in such a beautiful way. I'm sure I'm not the only one who got emotional at this lecture today. You talked about many things. You talked about how the karmas cannot be exchanged. You talked about how Bharat is misunderstood by all. But still, how he is actually, in a way, as I understand, Prabhuji, you said he is something like our intelligence. And how when we are surrounded by people who misunderstand us, and how we should this, at that time maintain our integrity and try to solve and overcome those misunderstandings through proper communication through our words, through our actions. And that's what that was a lesson that I could get through. And then how you talked about Lakshman being the representation of Guru Tattva, and how we should control our anger, and so many things. And this one, which was very good, which I liked, was emotions are precious ornaments, but we must learn how we have to nurture those emotions, and which emotions we should nurture. Prabhuji, one quick question I had was, as you mentioned that Bharat is misunderstood by almost all except Shatrughan, I was just wondering, obviously Ram was the supreme personality of Godhead, so he didn't misunderstand him. But what about Sita? Is there any mention that did she also harbor some kind of misunderstanding about Bharat, or was she on the same platform that she was very clear that he was remained faithful all throughout? Just had a question on that. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Mataji, can you please introduce yourself?
Supriya Mataji.
This is Hare Krishna. Palika Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Kalika Mataji. Thank you very much for your kind words, and all glories to Guru Gauranga. So Mataji, as far as I have read, I did not come across any instance in the Ramayana where Mother Sita misunderstood Bharat. I did not come across anything. Only Lakshman and the other personalities that we mentioned. So, answer is, Mataji, no. As far as I read, I did not come across anything. She was one with Shri Ram, Mother Sita.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any more questions at this point of time? Please go ahead.
Hare Krishna. Ajya Adhikata Tadas Prabhuji Koti Koti Natin Pranam. As usual, we feel that, Lita, that much potency in your class, which is your sadhana is so strong. And Prabhuji, this Ramayana is all the characters are like day-to-day life. We have to face out like Mantra, Kaikai, Dashratha, and all the characters we face out in a day-to-day life. They teach us how we have to behave in that situation. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for explaining Leela live. Hare Bol, Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai.
Thank you very much, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. I transfer your kind words of appreciation to Guru and Gauranga. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. This is Kasturi Manjari Devidasi. I have a question. I think I'm just thinking of yesterday's class. Today I didn't hear the whole class yet. I just joined in the middle somewhere. So I'm just thinking about how Bharat has to receive all that dishonor, even though he didn't do anything wrong. So is there any particular history behind that he has to go through this, or just to teach us and to create that proper, the appreciation and regard and that emotion for Bharat, how he dealt with all that dishonor that came, even though he was not responsible for anything?
Hare Krishna, Kasturi Manjari Mataji. My humble obeisances to you. So Mataji, certainly it was all just part of Hari Leela, because Bharat definitely does not have any history or karma to repay, because he is Vishnu Tattva. So it was simply, as you said, a part of Krishna's plan. It was part of Leela, but he did not have any personal karma or any anything to payback, as far as I have read.
So, and also, like, I have further, more, if you would please guide me, because this kind of thing happens in our life, my life too, many times, but anyway, I'm very, very conditioned soul, and I have so many anarthas in my heart. So one thing about Bharat is that he was able to explain, means he was able to present his means his reality and his honesty and about himself, and he was being accepted by all those who were misunderstanding him. So in our, means in my case, I feel that, and of course, I mean, my heart is not pure. So when these things come, there are two things that I'm thinking about. One is that, first of all, I'm not able to convince the other person about my, you know, my intention of whatever I did. And second thing I'm also thinking about, that we also hear that, okay, if I didn't do something, then I should not be taking responsibility for that doing. So how to, like, actually deal with this kind of things when it happens? I'm not sure if I'm getting my question.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, no, Kasturi Manjari Mataji, I heard your question.
This is a very long discussion, Mataji. And now it is already almost 2 hours. Certainly we can discuss this in detail some other time. But one or two quick points I can share. So like we were discussing, there are intentions and there are actions. People can see our actions, they cannot see our intentions. So we should try our best that our actions reflect our intentions as far as possible. Whatever we are feeling inside, as far as possible, we should try to keep our actions in line with our intentions, in line with what is in our heart. That way, it is little less likely that people will misunderstand us. And second is proper communication, because people cannot read our thoughts. So sometimes, you know, we have to take the time to explain it properly. And one thing that I have seen very commonly in devotee interactions is misunderstandings, is texting. Texting and writing comments, because people can only read your words, they cannot see your emotions, the tone of your voice, your expressions. It's very impersonal. And sometimes messages can be misinterpreted as being rude or curt, but actually they may not be like that. So proper communication is important. And as far as possible, we should make sure that our actions and our intentions are in line, are in sync, so that people can, it is less likely to be misunderstood. But this is a very long topic, Mataji, with a lot of, you know, examples and stories, yes, from the scriptures. Maybe we can discuss this some other time.
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you so much. And
Hare Krishna.
Very, very grateful to you for your wonderful classes. Whatever class I have heard from you, it's like really so much heart-touching and so purifying, and so much, it gives me so much enthusiasm to apply those things. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your kind words, Mataji. All glories to Guru and Gauranga. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very, very nice. We explained it deep. It was very deep. Thank you. Because otherwise, when I read, I cannot go that deep and understanding. But it's very nice that you have explained. Hare Krishna. This is Komodaki Dasi.
Hare Krishna, Komodaki Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you very much, Mataji, for your kind words. Thank you. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
Can I quickly ask a question to all of you? Very quickly. What topic would you like me to speak on tomorrow? If you can please tell me. From the Ramayana.
Sundarkand.
Sita Devi.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. First of all, you know, it's up to you. What you think is appropriate for all of our spiritual progress, for all of our sadhana, we can please go ahead with that topic. But since we have asked you, asked all of us, So, you know, I would like to say that Lord cannot be, the glorification of Lord cannot be completed unless the devotees of the Lord is glorified. So in that case, you know, we can always touch upon the topic of Hanumanji. But again, rest is all up to you. Whatever you think is appropriate, you can please go ahead with it.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
Yes, Prabhuji. All the favors of Lord Rama.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, so we will...
Yes, Prabhuji, like more, we are not hearing more about Mother Sita. So, like, whatever you feel right is, of course, you can say. But just my thought, like, if Mother Sita can be... Because you are so expressive in telling the Katha, that it would be really nice to listen more. Hare Krishna.
Jai.
Hare Krishna. Jai Guru Gauranga. Thank you so much for your inputs. I will try to serve all of you to the best of my ability tomorrow. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your very enlightening class today, and we are very grateful to you. We look forward to your association again in the future.